I'd planned on walking out here with what you see in my hands, this baseball and this football, because I want to talk about value today. The value of this baseball, first of all. In my hands, it's not worth very much at all. Really nothing at all. In Bobby Woods Jr.'s hands, it's worth about $250 million. This football, in my hands, even though I played the sport and played small college football, in my hands, especially at my age, it is worth absolutely nothing. Even though I was invited by one of our crazy guys, Morales, if you know him, the boxer, to play in a flag football game this Saturday, I asked him for his list of players. I am by far the oldest that's playing on this, probably for my humiliation. But I will tell you that the value that I have with this, and if I make it to the field on Saturday, the value, the only value I have with this at my age of 54 is a pulled hamstring or groin. That's the only thing I see coming from this. But this football in the hands of Patrick Mahomes, oh, quit it. Couldn't even look at your shirt walking in today. It's just ridiculous. It's not even football season. This football in the hands of Patrick Mahomes is about $500 million. It matters in whose hands that brings the value. These hands on a cross with two nails is not worth anything. In fact, it's a deficit. It's worth shame and sin, regret and guilt. But a wooden cross in the two hands of our Savior is worth everything, and it's a ripple that changed the world. The greatest ripple effect that's ever changed, it's changed the world. The message today is little is much in the hands of God. Little is much in God's hands. And we may feel at times that we don't have much to offer, and we think, just what about, that's for the super Christians, the super spiritual, the real rock star believers, but just everyday me, what do I have to offer? And I think you've asked this question before, because it's the question I've asked of myself before. What difference does it make? Sometimes we wonder, what difference does it make? What difference does the gift that I have, what difference? What difference does the offering that I place in the basket or online, what difference does my small amount make? What difference does my time and my volunteering, is it seems so insignificant. Is it making any difference? I know this because I believe that God's called me to what I'm doing, but there's days that I walk off this stage and I say, what difference did it make? Did it do any good? And today's like today when we get to have a baptism like that, it's reminding us that God's working in the little things, even when we don't see it, even when we don't know it. God is at work. In our hands, it's nothing, but in His hands, it's big. It's everything. Last week, Pastor Dustin gave a great message, if you weren't here, on someone that we wouldn't think about very much, someone that we would find as insignificant in the scriptures. The mother of Moses. We know Moses, but we don't think about much about his mom, who all she had in her hands was a basket that she put in the river. All she had was desperation, but in the hands of God, it became a miracle that would deliver his people from Egypt. Today, we look at another woman today that will seem so insignificant to us, but Jesus took notice of her. And today, we have the story of the widow who's at the temple. And in Mark chapter 12, Jesus sat down opposite of the place where the offerings were put, and he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were, and he watched. Jesus was watching. Jesus took notice. She probably didn't think that what she did was anything of significance, that it was, she knew it was small, but in the eyes of Jesus, it was significant. And Jesus watches. He sees the little, the big. He sees everything in between. And so the moment you and I feel like God doesn't see us, he sees us. He sees you. We have a God who sees us. And God saw this widow, and who's giving two very small copper coins, which of the worth in today's value would be about $2. She gave away all that she had. She gave $2. She gave the least amount of currency or least valuable currency of that day and time. And Jesus noticed. And so he calls his disciples to him because he wants them to notice. He wants them to see something that their eyes probably would not have recognized, because man looks upon the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. And Jesus didn't want to miss this opportunity to show these 12 what this woman had done and what she was doing. And so he pulls his disciples because he wanted to see them. In the same way, the writer, the Mark, he wanted us to see. And he wants us to see today, 2,000 years later, what the significance this has for us. So he called his disciples, a widow's gift, giving all that she had that seemed so insignificant, but yet it made such a ripple effect that we're talking about it 2,000 years later. Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. Jesus was not moved by her money. Our natural tendency is we're moved by things that are big. And when we see big gifts or big things of generosity, we're like, wow, that's awesome. God's not moved by the size of the gift. God is moved by the size of the heart. And he did not see in this woman, it's not the money that he saw. What he saw was the heart of surrender, the heart of trust. That this woman fully trusted God to give him her all. In the same way, God is not moved by our money. He is moved by our trust. He's moved by our surrender. Nothing that we can do can impress him. There's a story in likewise in 2 Corinthians, not just a story, but something that actually happened, where the Apostle Paul is telling this church in Corinth, he's telling these Corinthians who they would have been where Corinth was placed. It was by the waters. It was by where commerce was coming in and out. Most likely, it was a very rich city because they had a lot of resources and it was a trading route. And so, thus, it was probably a rich church. And so, this church in Corinth that Paul is writing to, he highlights another church, maybe an insignificant church in their eyes because they were poor by the standards of the day. But much like this widow, they didn't have means and they didn't have money. But the Apostle Paul wanted to see this church in Corinth to see their heart and their surrender as an example of their trust. God is not moved by our money. He is moved by our trust. 2 Corinthians 8:5 says that the Macedonians, they gave themselves first of all to the Lord and then by the will of God to the Corinthians. The first thing they did was they gave themselves to the Lord. They gave themselves to God first. And that giving is an overflow of the grace that God has given to us. So we're going to look at 7 short verses in 2 Corinthians as a response to the gospel. That giving is a response to the gospel. If you want to follow along in your notes today, I'll try to do better in the second service than I did in the first, because I had a few that sought me out after the service and they didn't get the last fill in the blank. So we'll try to do better in the service. I'll try to slow down a little bit. Giving is a response to the gospel. There's a lot of different reasons why people give. Some give out of obligation, or we have to, or we should, or we ought. Others give out of because we get to. Or some give out because it's the responsible thing to do, depending on what the situation is. But for believers, giving should be a response to the gospel. Not earning God's favor, but as a response to the favor that he's given us. As a response to the grace of God in our life, that he died for us, that he was buried, that he rose 3 days later, defeating our enemy of sin and death. Our giving as Christians is meant to be a response to the gospel. Now, if you're here today and you're not a believer, you're not a follower of Jesus, first of all, I'm so glad you're here. I think this is a great place. Church is a great place that you should be able to bring your doubts. You should even be able to bring your disagreements. It should be a safe place to do that. I'm talking, though, today to the follower of Jesus, to the professing Christian. Giving is a response to the gospel in our life, the good news. And there's several things about that I want to highlight today that are just laid out perfectly in verses 1 through 7. First, giving is a means of grace. Verse 1, Paul says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. That generosity doesn't flow from our wealth. Generosity flows from the grace of God. Generosity and giving is not for the wealthy. It's for the ones that God's grace has showed up in their life and they're responding out of that grace. Giving is a means of grace. They gave because of the grace of God. Giving is a means of joy. Verse 2, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in generosity." You know, I grew up in a Christian home, and I had a friend that we played football together in high school and college. He did not grow up in that same, there was a faith. I won't say there wasn't a faith in his home, but he didn't really grow up in church, hated going to church. But a year after he graduated, he found himself lost and not knowing the direction of his life, and he gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. This friend started going to church. We went to college together. We went on into an insurance training program in Owatonna, Minnesota. And we were being trained for a year how to sell commercial insurance. And what we were looking forward to was being out of the training program, because that's when we got a significant base salary along with commissions, and we were looking forward. I mean, I grew up in a pastor's home. I was looking forward to making money. I mean, that's what if I'm honest, I was just looking forward to making money. He was in the same way. He hadn't grown up really in a Christian home the same way that I did. And he was growing in his faith, and I remember we had a conversation in Minnesota outside our little duplex, and he had a little daughter, and he was saying, "I can't wait till when I start making this kind of money that I can start giving, that I can start tithing." And I was like, "Buddy, you're never going to give just because of what you are going to make if you don't make a decision now." Generosity and giving is not a matter of having enough. It's a matter of trusting God and putting your faith in Him. And so I say it this way. If I was to ask any of you to come up, just two people, and one of you on my left and one of you on my right, and one of you I gave $10 and one of you I gave $1 million. Now, first of all, there'd be a lot of chatter in the community this week, wouldn't there be? If that happened, there'd be a lot of people in church this next Sunday just wanting to know, next week, and wanting to know what's happening. But if I gave $10 to one and $1 million to the other, but then after I talked a little bit, I said, "Hey, now I want it all back." Who's it easier to give it back? The one with $10 or the one with $1 million? I'm just going to answer the question for you. It's the one with the $10. It's much easier to give the little than it is to give so much. But in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in generosity. It's not about the money. It's about the obedience. It's about the trust. It's a means of joy. It's a means of sacrifice. Verse 3, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own." The Apostle Paul wanted to make very clear, this wasn't a pastor manipulating, making them feel obligated. This was a group of people that were begging and asking to be a part of the kingdom work. They were asking to be givers, and some gave all that they were able, and some gave beyond their ability, but they did it entirely on their own, because giving is a means of sacrifice. Giving is a means of service. Verse 4. "They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people." A few years ago, after a Sunday morning service much like today, Heather and I were hungry, like you all are at the end of this service. And if you're not going home, you're probably looking for a place to eat. And that day we settled in on we're going to go to Chili's. And so we walk into Chili's, and we look to our left, and if you don't know this person, you haven't been around very long, and that's okay. He just tends to be good sermon still illustration material. He just, I don't know, God's given him as a gift to do some crazy and fun, some fun things. And so Tony Fear, for those that you know him, we see him to his left with his family, and his family, they graciously invite us over to sit with them and their family for lunch. So we sit down for lunch, and we're eating, we're enjoying a meal, and now it's time to pay the bill. And so we're arguing about who's gonna pay, and this young waiter, this guy, he's sitting there, and he's looking back and forth, and I was like, no, I'm gonna do it. And so finally, I pull the move. I throw my card into his apron, and it falls down into his apron, and he looks at me and goes, I'm sorry, he's already paid. When you weren't paying attention, you went to the bathroom, whatever, he's already paid. And so sometimes I do things without thinking. And sometimes I don't know what my mind is doing. And I just thought, well, I need to get my card back. So I just reached down to his apron pocket and started to grab this card. And I realized, according to his reaction, that it was near his thigh or on his thigh. And he said two words. He said, oh, and I can't say the second word. Which then I think Tony proceeded to tell him that I was his pastor. I said, I would love to see you at Cross Point next Sunday or United Methodist Church. I'm just kidding. You can tell my friend Pastor Andy that. The point is, in that funny story is this. What got us in trouble is we were wanting to bless the other. We were pleading with the opportunity, the privilege of sharing in the service to God's people, the Lord's people. It's a means of service. Giving is a means of surrender. Verse 5, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. They first gave themselves to the Lord. The Macedonians, they didn't start with money. It started with surrender. And that's the best place to start. Is when we start with surrender and trust God, then everything begins to flow out of that. But giving is a means of surrender. And then verse 7, giving is a means of growth. Paul says, but since you excel in everything, I mean, he's bragging on the Corinthians. He's saying, because you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. He singles out giving. Why not just put it all together? I think I know why. Because giving's the hardest thing to relinquish control of in our lives. Giving of our money and our resources is one of the biggest faith decisions we can make because we like to be in control. We like to be in the driver's seat. And when we give, we're putting God in the driver's seat. We're putting him in the place of control. And so, you know, I think about this verse. I think about if I would come up to you today and I'd say, hey, you know, hey, we're going to preach today on how to grow our faith and how our faith can grow. I believe many of you here, that's why you're here, because you want to grow in your faith. You're hungry to grow in your faith, and I think I would have a captive audience. And if I would say, hey, today we're going to talk about growing in our speech, in our actions, in our life as ambassadors of Christ, and how we're reflecting Christ in this world, and what that looks like. And if I said, hey, we're gonna talk about that, I think, yeah, Pastor, we want to do that. We want to be more Christ-like in this world, in our actions, in our speech, and the way that we interact with our work and our school. And if I said, hey, I think today we want to grow in the knowledge and we just want to dive into his word and we want to learn from his word so that we can know better what it is to be a follower of Jesus, I believe that we would, you know, all be in agreement. That's why we're here. We want to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and we want to be more like him, or we want to grow in love. That would be no one's opposed to that. Everyone would be like, let's do that. But when it comes to giving, Paul sets it aside because the grace of giving is tough. And yet there's so many benefits. And it's part of our growth as followers of Jesus. It's part of our journey. And there's so many ripple effects of giving. There's so many benefits. There's just a few that I listed. It builds our faith and trust in God. It less of our trust in ourselves. It puts our trust in Him. It cultivates a joyful and grateful heart. Some of the happiest, joyful people I know, the most grateful people I know, they are givers. I believe this: when we give, gratitude grows. When we hoard, our hearts close. I believe there's an element that God grows our gratitude, and there's a gratefulness in our giving. It honors God. It aligns your heart with God. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It loosens your grip on greed and materialism. It blesses you because it's more blessed to give than to receive. It blesses others. It leaves a rich legacy. I know people who are financially rich and relationally poor. And I also know people that are relationally rich and financially poor. And I'll take relationally rich and financially poor every day and twice on Sunday. Now, that doesn't mean, I know plenty of people too, that they're rich in finances and they're rich in relationships. It's not an either or. It should be a both and. It reflects the cross and the grace that we've received. Our giving shows our gratefulness. Giving is a celebration, not an obligation. This is where I lost some of the first service crowd, so I'll stop here a little bit longer. Giving is a celebration, not an obligation. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Important question for you this morning. Do you like my shoes? You see how white they are? It's only the second time I've worn them. Wore them to the National Prayer Breakfast on Thursday and again today. I don't care if you like my shoes or not. I love them. The reason I love these shoes is because my daughters mailed them to me for our birthday this week. And Heather got some Nickerson blue shoes that were mailed to her. And in one of the Amazon, they didn't mean to do this, but on one of the receipts, I saw what my shoes cost. And my daughters probably feel like they got big girl jobs now, and one's doing that for 3 years, one's doing it for one, but my daughters live in Florida. Rent's expensive, everything's expensive, and you're a parent or a grandparent, and you know this. When we get to, we'd rather give than receive from our kids and grandkids. When we get to Christmas and we're around the Christmas tree, if we didn't get one gift, it wouldn't matter to us. A little bit, maybe. But what would break our heart is if they had nothing for them to open underneath the tree. Because we love to give that. And so when we saw that, we were like, girls, we don't want you to spend that kind of money for us. I wouldn't pay this much for shoes myself. And so they said, okay, your mother's going to Venmo you a little something back. And they said, don't steal our joy. Don't steal our joy. There is giving that can either be an ought to and a have to, or a get to and a want to. In the posture of our heart, it matters. God wants us to give cheerfully. He doesn't want us to give out of obligation or out of compulsion or because a pastor preaches on it. But it comes to a place where, as the Macedonians, they did it out of their own decision. Finally, giving to God is about our first and our best. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. And a question for Jesus followers, for Christians, for believers. If you're not, you get a pass. You're out on this one. But if we're followers of Jesus, a question I have for us is, what would your giving say about God's place in your life? Does your giving reflect that God is first? Does your giving reflect that God is so important to you? This is not about earning our salvation. Salvation is free. We don't earn God's favor. We receive God's favor. So don't ever give to the church feeling like you're going to earn God's approval or His favor or His love. He already loves you. He already has given you favor. He's already given you forgiveness, and it comes with no cost. Giving is a response, and giving to God is about our first and giving our best, to honoring with our first fruits. And all of us come from different places in our journey. And honestly, I'm probably in a minority because there's many that just didn't grow up in church. I grew up, My first job was a mowing job, paid about $3 an hour. It was 5 acres of land, took me about 8 hours. I got a $25 check each week. And my parents taught me to put $2.50 in the offering, to put a tithe, to put a 10% in the offering that week. And that's something that just continued to happen in my life. It just was something we did. Honestly, sometimes we can do it and stop thinking about it and not become worship anymore. And so it's just something we did. And then when I married Heather, Heather's parents were both school teachers, but great people in their church and very much taught the same way. So it's something we never argued about. We never had to fight over this. It's just something we both were in agreement on from the get-go. Now, you know, we've had other arguments. There's other things that we've argued about. That's not what the message is about today. So, but we agreed on this. But I know, like my friend who I talked about earlier, who didn't grow up this way, giving 10% is like going to the moon and back. If it's something you've never done before, and believe me, I believe in it. I believe you can trust God, and I'm not discounting 10%. I believe that you absolutely can trust God with that 10% or more, whatever God calls you to do. But what if we just begin to grow in our faith 1%? What if we committed ourselves to giving 1% this year? That means if you're used to not giving anything, that and you made $50,000, that 1% would be $500, about $10 a week. And you can do the math. Or what if it's become so automatic and so easy that God's asking you to grow in your sacrifice and your surrender, that you would raise it 1%? What if we all as a church begin to step up 1%? Imagine if we would just not a 1%, it's not like it's going to be earth-shattering, change the world kind of thing, but little as much when we take steps of faith in God. When we say, God, this isn't much, but I want to take a step in my faith. I want to step a step closer to you. I want to be obedient. And this is where I start. I start with a 1%. What if we did that? What if we all grew this year as a church collectively and as a body, and we begin to ask God to trust him with that 1% and begin to do that? I want to talk to you about something we're going to begin doing. It's called First Fruits Sunday. It's going to be the first Sunday of every month. I talked with our board about this, our leadership and our staff and our pastors. And it's something that kind of got lost in COVID. COVID brought a lot of things, some good, some bad. And one of the things it did is we just stopped passing plates and we stopped passing buckets. And actually, it's been kind of nice, especially for guests and visitors, to know that's not our focus. That's not what we're all about. But I think there's something we also miss. We also miss sharing the why that we give. We're always sharing how to give. Text Hutch to 94,000. The giving box is in the back. We have the different things, or go online. We say how to give, but we don't probably do a good enough job of saying why we give. And why we give is worship. We worship in song. By the way, your voices were beautiful today. I just stopped singing in second service and I just listened to your voices sing. We worship through song. We worship through the reading of his word and the preaching of his word. We worship through the fellowship of believers. We worship in everything that we say and do, but one thing that we kind of lose sight of is we worship in our giving. It's a response to his grace in our life. It's a response to wanting to see God move in other people's lives. And so today, I'm going to ask our volunteers if they'll come forward. I talked to volunteers the first service. I get pretty busy second service. But I'm going to ask our volunteers to come forward, and we have these buckets up front. I'm not asking you to give anything today. We've already received the offering. What I'm asking you to do is receive something today. Really, really valuable. There's pennies in these buckets. And I want you to take 2 pennies. I think we have enough for 2 pennies. We got 1,000 pennies in between our 2 services. But the 2 pennies represent what this widow did. That this widow surrendered and trusted God. That this widow gave of herself. It wasn't the size of the gift. It was, God, I trust you. I surrender to you. So I'm going to go ahead and ask our volunteers if they'll come forward and pass these buckets back and forth. Take 2 pennies. receive those today, and I want it to be a reminder. Maybe you put it in, you can start passing it out. Just make sure no one misses. Yeah, you just pass it down each way. Just make sure no one misses it. Yeah, thank you. I think we can do two things at once. So here's what I want you to continue to listen as you receive your two pennies, as you take those two pennies. I want it to be a reminder to us, whether you put it in the console of your car, whether you put it by your nightstand, whether you put it by your Bible, whether you, whatever, you may lose it on the way home. No one, if you lose this on the way home, is going to go, oh no, I got to find my penny. I'm going to be lost without it this next week. But little is much in the hands of God. That's what I want us to focus on. That our little, our trust, our faith in God's hands can lead to big ripple effects in our lives, can lead to great things that God wants to do in us and through us. And so I just want to make sure, and if you don't somehow miss your pennies today, I want you to take them on the way out. We'll leave them in the back and just grab a couple on the way out. Now, I've heard it said that these pennies are going out of circulation. It's rumored. So about 100 years from now, I mean, you could have said, your kids could be really rich. I don't know. I don't know how that all works. That's not why we're doing it. This isn't an investment plan, obviously. It's a God, a reminder that we're called to trust you. We're called to excel in our faith, in our speech, in our knowledge, and in our love, in our earnestness, and also in our giving, that we're going to grow in the grace of giving. Let me show you a picture, my favorite picture of this last week. This was Wednesday night before our children and youth group met, and a lady in our church, and I apologize, I'm getting better with names, we have so many new faces, it's great. Her daughter, was baptized in our second service last week. Thankfully, she stopped and captured this picture of this rainbow over our church. Isn't that gorgeous? If I didn't know any better, I do, I know better. If I didn't know any better, I would say Inspire, we're God's favorites. Boy, does he love us. Now, I know better. I know he loves all of us the same. But what I want us to receive from this is what the rainbow represents. It represents a promise. A promise of God to his people that he'll never flood the world again. There'll be floods here and there, but he'll never wipe out the world with a flood again. That's the one promise. But I believe it's a bigger promise than that. I believe it's a promise that God sees us, he loves us, he'll deliver us, he'll provide for us. All the promises, over 7,000 promises in the Word of God, that we can trust the promises of God, that we can take them to the bank, that we can trust and surrender and believe in a God who knows us, loves us, and sees us, that we can trust in a promise-keeping God. And I believe we can trust in this God of promise. And trust me on this, God doesn't want your money if he doesn't have your heart. The most important thing is that you give him your heart. The most important thing is that not that you give a gift, but that you receive the gift of Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life. And then the giving flows out of that, not the other way around. Let me pray with us before Pastor Aaron comes up. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your reminder today that in our hands, it's so little. It may seem insignificant. Whether Moses' mom or whether this widow, whether the little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, little is nothing in our hands, but little is much in the hands of God. And the little that we trust you with and surrender to you, God, you can do amazing things in and through our lives. God, I pray, Lord, for an increased trust, an increased surrender in this room, and even those watching online, that we would trust you and surrender to you, that you are a God who loves us, sees us, we can trust you, that you can take our little and you can do much. Lord, most importantly, may we give you our hearts today. Maybe someone in this room today, they just need to give their heart to you. Receive you by faith as their Lord and Savior, as Kara, who was baptized in our first service, did. Lord, thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. And to you we give all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.